We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, confession time, Carol. Last night I walked into my basement ahead of the debate. Alexa was still up and Mom and Alexa on the couch. They were watching The Masked Singer. Now, they've done this before and I've avoided the room.
Because?
I mocked The Masked Singer because I would see these commercials when they were promoting it at first, and I thought, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I also said this, I think, a couple of times on the air. I believe that the biggest challenge that this country faces is that The Masked Singer has good ratings.
But that is it. Okay.
But, well, amongst other things. So I'm complaining about it. I sit down. I'm kind of, you know, reluctantly watching it. And then I can't take my eyes off.
Of course.
And then I hit record. I'm like, oh, my God, what is
now,
this?
Are you hooked now?
Well, one thing I will say is you cannot convince me that part of the goal of The Masked Singer is to get people in states that have legalized marijuana to watch the show. Because it's all like super crazy psychedelic with colors and people dressed up in goofy costumes. Now, I will tell you that I don't even know if I understand. In fact, I will tell you honestly, I don't understand how the show works because in my mind, there was this banana up there singing, someone in a banana suit, right?
Oh, I missed the banana.
I think it was a banana. And I thought I was going to get to learn who that person was, but I guess it's done. You're going to have to explain this to me.
I'll
voting every week?
Yes. And so the person who is voted off is then revealed.
Right. And last night it was Tony Hawk. So here's just play this. This is what happened at the end.
Sonic and legendary skateboarder. Two-time Lifetime Achievement Award winner. I knew it. San Diego representing.
How did we not figure that out?
You know what I told Alexa
none
last night?
None of them knew.
I said, I noticed all of a sudden, I said, that's the dude, Alexa, that said I had a chicken neck. Remember when Marlon Wayans told me that? All right, so Tony Hawk's revealed.
Right.
Nobody got that last night.
No. Sometimes they do get it, but
to
me it's very rare.
I'm going to ask a question about that. But so what are they doing? Well, they're just trying to figure out who the person is, but I don't get all the voting and everything.
The heart of it is these are people who are not known. Generally, people are not known as singers.
Right.
You know, there have been athletes. Generally, I mean, I think
but last week was Chaka Khan.
Patti LaBelle was one and couldn't believe she got voted off. But generally, they are people. There have been a couple of athletes, people who are well known, but not as being performers. And then the panelists have to guess who they think it is. And they give them clues all along the way that are just almost poetic kind of clues.
Okay, but do you think that, and I know that they get it
wrong. I feel like they know, but
that's the thing.
Yeah,
do you think that has to be, look, we've worked in radio and TV, and these things are producer-driven, so it's hard for me to believe that they're just all coming up with what the clues indicated by themselves and making guesses. I think they are, my guess would be they're educated guesses based on producer help. Would that be accurate?
I have no idea what they're doing, but I cannot imagine that they aren't being given, you know, like we have the elephant on, we have the banana on, and here's a list of 30 names it could be.
Right, right.
And then you've got to listen for the clues.
Maybe something like that.
So there's some sort of, there's got to be some sort of prepping going on.
So I thought,
But maybe not, I don't know.
Last night there were guesses, did you see last night or not?
I did not,
okay.
No.
So they thought it was Lance Armstrong. The legs looked a little too beefy for me.
You got into it because that's the kind of thing you look at. Like one of the things that I've heard them say that a particular costumed character comes out, and I love these costumes, is that, you know, they're tall or they know how to walk or they, you know, someone once guessed that the person had the stance of someone who had been on stage. I mean, that kind of stuff. So they're taking the clues and trying to run with it. And the funny part is just listening.
Well, somebody guessed, and I thought this would have been awesome, by the way, and it was ahead of the debate. Somebody thought it was Beto O'Rourke, which could have been very, very
funny. Would have been awesome.
Now, when the banana dude was up there, I thought my assessment was, and I understand that a lot of times it's not a singer. I thought, well, that's not a singer because it sounds like someone who's an actor who has an okay voice who's singing. When they do their singing And this is the other thing that was confusing. When they're talking, are they modifying the voice all
the time? Yes, they are.
They are.
All the time.
Even during the singing, they're modifying the voice.
I don't think during the singing the voice is modified, but during the speaking and the answering of questions, then the voice is modified with some sort of speaker box thing. Like Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child, she was on this, but she had, you know, she had been through a lot. She'd had mental health issues, still does, for years. And so... Did you think that somebody from Destiny's Child would be on this show?
Probably not.
Yeah. So, yeah, the voice is definitely modified when they are answering the questions. And it
sounds like sort of like that.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
that's what I heard from Tony Hawk last night.
Yeah.
So I, you know, look,
but you're hooked now.
We all do things where we mock things and make fun of things. And then all of a sudden we're like, oh, wait a second. I wouldn't say I was hooked, but I will say this.
It was entertaining.
It was mildly entertaining. And then it was also something, and maybe this is where they're getting the audience. And I think it is. And this is a good thing. My daughter was watching it, and she got a kick out of it, and she was laughing. So my sense is that families are watching this,
right?
Moms and dads with their kids. And if we're being honest, there's not a lot of stuff like that. No, we happen to be. I do have some things, guilty pleasures, I would call them, like Survivor. So Becky and I have watched Survivor, and Alexa sometimes watches Survivor with us. But even that show is sort of. There are themes and things that happen that a five-year-old probably shouldn't be watching.
Exactly.
Maybe this also applies to The Masked Singer, but it was a better, fun concept than I perhaps expected.
You have to wonder how far. I have wondered over the years how far can reality TV type competition shows go without. You know, here's a knife and see who can take each other out. I mean, some of them are that villainous. You know, there's so much backstabbing going on.
Dave Klein says he'd watch that. That's the one he's in on.
You know, there's so much backstabbing going on that I feel like it's long affected our psyche of how we, you know, operate with one another. But The Masked Singer the costumes are elaborate. You feel like you're watching a Vegas show
You
know, it's very elaborate.
I'm telling you,
you're mildly
entertained. It wasn't what I expected. It was not what I expected.
More than you expected.
And I kept watching it. It was not unlike the Democratic debate because I couldn't take my eyes off that either. So that was interesting. Anyway, so now I'm maybe not as confused as why it's going on the road, you know, because we have the Masked Singer live.
It's coming here. Yeah, this is one of the stops.
Right. So, man, I'm embarrassed to admit it, but there you go.
It's a singing competition.
Not really.
Well,
it is.
Yes. It's a singing and a puzzle.
Will we eventually, though, get to know everyone who has a mask on as they get eliminated? Is there a winner for the mask?
There is a winner. The one who survives is the winner.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I am hooked now because I want to find out what happens. Thank you, Carol.
You're welcome. She's back
at 3:30 this afternoon. Rafer Weigel, who is, used to be here on Fox in St. Louis and Fox 32 in Chicago. He's been our Jussie Smollett guy, and he's actually in the building. I've never met him. We're going to have a conversation with him. He covered a lot of the Blago stuff. Also, a little bit later this hour, Chris Raby from Jupiter, Florida. We'll talk a little Cardinals, but also a Raby rant. And in the next hour, Matt Bradley, president of the Mardi Gras Foundation. There is a little parade that's going on in St. Louis on Saturday with tens of thousands of people, and we'll talk about that.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show.
When you're out of my sight, you must constantly Twitter me exactly what you're up to.
Follow Mark on Twitter at Mark Reardon, KMOX.
We got a Raby rant coming up, 3:35. We'll go down to Jupiter, Florida, and check in with Chris. He's also going to be with us 4:15, 4:45 during Total Information PM. Quick programming note, I'm off tomorrow, back on Monday. Look who is here in person. And I found out about this yesterday, so it was a bit of a surprise. Rafer Weigel, who's been with us many times as our Jussie Smollett correspondent. We're going to talk a little about Blago here as he joins me in the studio. Rafer Weigel, how are you? Used to be in Chicago, Fox 32, also here in St. Louis.
I'm good. It's good to meet you, Mark.
I've
spoken to you so many times over the past year. I'm glad to know that you're a real person, not just the man behind the curtain.
Rafer has been our Jussie Smollett correspondent. We're going to talk a little bit here this afternoon about Blago. But, you know, as I mentioned before, and just to sort of reconnect, we were talking a little bit before we hit the air here. I lived in Chicago until I was 14, and I moved here. But I remember your father, and we've talked about this segment that he did on WLS-TV in Chicago. He was a sports guy. You were a sports guy for a little while. Weigel's Wieners. Legendary, right?
He was the first person on local TV to do sports bloopers.
Yeah.
Started in 1975. And that it just kind of grew from there. And then he would intercut, you know, Three Stooges clips or, you know, this is going back a ways, kids. You're going to have to YouTube it or Google it. But yeah, stuff like that. And yeah, kids and everybody alike just really enjoyed it.
So did you always think then you were going into broadcasting, or was that something? Because, you know, as a father, I have two boys who are about to enter the professional world. I would probably tell them to do anything they can except for radio and television. Although that was a little different back when we got in, I think.
No, he was adamant about never going into the business.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. I mean, 100% adamant about it. And he was there in the 80s and the 90s when you made real money at this. And people don't realize.
Yeah, those days are over.
They're over.
They've been over for a while.
I mean, look, this still beats working for a living.
When you say real money, let me be clear here, because I think there's still real money. But some people were making stupid money.
In Chicago, they were making stupid money. $1.5 million
right.
for local news and to read a teleprompter. And look, it still beats working for a living. At the end of the day, as one of the famous news anchors once said when I was in Chicago at 7 years old, his name was Fahey Flynn. That's before
I remember. I remember Fahey Flynn.
Somebody was complaining and he took a drag off of his cigarette from the anchor desk and went, well, it beats splitting rock.
That's exactly right. Yeah,
that's right.
That is a name from the past, dude, because I absolutely remember him. And that was a long, long time ago. We should also make the connection here that your significant other is Margie Ellisor from Fox 2.
Yes.
And in just that weird small world connection, 30 years ago, I did Easter Seals telethons with Margie in Columbia and Jefferson City. She was a news anchor at KRCG. I was a radio guy, and we did these cut-ins, and then we handled like the last half hour of the telethon, and that was my my first TV exposure outside of my days at Channel 8, so it was fun, and I got to see her not too long ago here in the station, so it was great to catch up with her.
Yeah, she's taping with Bo for a show for the weekend right
now. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. All right, so what was your impression? Did you cover Rod Blagojevich when you were in Chicago?
I did, and you know what? This was a head-scratcher. A lot of people looked at this and went, why did Trump do this? None of us really thought he was going to ever pardon or commute the sentence of Blagojevich.
They sort of telegraphed it about a year ago, but then it never went anywhere.
Well, we thought he was basically bluffing. And, you know, the big question is, what's in it for Trump? Because, look, whether you like him or don't like him, he's not going to do something for free. He's a businessman. What's he getting out of this? And when we thought about it, we realized, no, he did this as basically a middle finger to the Democrats, and specifically the city of Chicago, which he's not a fan of, and the fact that it's a sanctuary city. The Democrats hate Rod Blagojevich. Rod's got a lot of dirt on a lot of people in the state of Illinois, including J.B. Pritzker, allegedly, Mike Madigan, Speaker of the House. Yeah. When Rod was originally brought before a judge in his trial, he tried to bring in evidence of other people that we don't know what that, but the judge refused that evidence. So he's sitting on something. And I think a lot of people are nervous.
He comes out of this thing and he's just this, I guess, the same old Rod, except for he had a bloody chin and then his white hair. But he certainly isn't any less cocky than he was 8 years ago, right?
Not at all. No, he's just as arrogant as he ever was, just as defiant. And this is also probably sending a message to Roger Stone, if you think about it, who, as you know, now is
just sentenced today. We're talking about that a little bit, right?
Yeah. So,
well, by the way, what do you think of that? 40 months. I mean, the deal with that, and I understand that there maybe the 9 years was excessive based on what he did, but that's what Steve Stanger got here, basically,
right?
3 years.
Right.
So that for Roger Stone, I don't think it's enough, but what do I know? And he'll probably get pardoned anyway.
He will get pardoned anyway. Absolutely, he will. And Blagojevich wasn't pardoned. His sentence was commuted. He's still a convicted felon. You know, what's next for the guy? I mean, has being
what is next?
That's a big question. Who knows? Remember when Bruce Rauner was running for re-election and he played the tapes between Blagojevich and Pritzker? And it didn't really take, there wasn't a lot of traction
with that. I'm glad you brought that up, because they played those ads quite a bit here on KMOX because of the Illinois contingency and all the voters there. It was amazing to me that just went by and nobody latched onto it. I thought that was, oh man, that's the death knell, listening to that audio right there. Didn't even seem to matter.
Well, I thought the death knell on Trump was the Entertainment Tonight tape.
Well, I think a lot of us did. Right.
And that didn't matter either. I mean, when you're talking about political constituents these days, you know, as the president famously said, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and they wouldn't care. And the people on the left, I think, are no different. In that, you know, this guy was probably doing something dirty with Blagojevich. Right. And they still went, well, you're going to legalize weed? Fine, we'll vote you in. But I think that Blagojevich has got some, he knows where the bodies are buried, and I might mean that literally.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the state of Illinois. I something's probably going to come out, and I think a lot of people are waiting to see what
you
that know, is.
You mentioned Democrats in the middle finger, but it's still sort of a middle finger to Republicans, too, and you have congressional districts in the Chicago area that could potentially be affected. So I'm still a little unclear on all that motivation.
Yeah, I don't know that Trump, I think he just marches to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, we've certainly discovered that. So there's really nothing new, I don't think, in the last couple of days on Jussie Smollett, but that was a very interesting development. I don't know how the reaction in the, you know, the days following our conversation when that all broke went in Chicago. But it seems like he's up against it at this point, finally.
He's in a lot of trouble. You know what was interesting, Mark, after we talked was the degree of coverage it got. And with MSNBC and with CNN, it was zero to none. I noticed that. Yeah.
Now, some of that is, I think, because of the news cycle. But they didn't really touch it at all.
And, you know, yes, Fox News covered it. The local news certainly covered it in Chicago. But it is, yes, he is definitely, especially since Kim Fox in her reelection campaign, she is the state's attorney of Cook County, admitted she made a mistake in pardoning him or dropping the charges.
That was in the aftermath of these new charges, wasn't it?
Yes.
That she said that.
No. She said that.
She had said that previously?
Before the new charges. She, in her political campaign that is currently running, and it's been running for several months, she attempted to, quote unquote, own the Smollett thing by saying, mistakes were made, but I learned from those. You know what I mean? So
will she win that election?
I shouldn't say it. I'm not in the media anymore. I don't work at Fox 32, so I can say this. Yes, I do think she's going to win again simply because she's running against two Democratic challengers. Both of them are viable candidates. I've met them. I've interviewed them. One of them's a former Navy SEAL, very sharp guy, but they're going to water down the vote. Kim's got the support of the political machine and the Cook County Board President, Tony Preckwinkle. And it's hard to elect Republicans in Chicago. Now, the one thing that she does have working against her is she is Cook County, and Cook County expands all into the suburbs. And as you know, the most big cities, the makeup is Democrat in the city, but the suburbs are all Republican. And she is going to be voted during a presidential ballot.
Yeah. So that, you know, just in hearing that description, I still think that might mean that she would, you know, escape okay. Only because, look, those suburbs traditionally might be somewhat Republican, but there's a lot of Democrats. And with Trump on the ballot in Chicago, now that's not going to be true. Well, maybe it is true in St. Louis County. I mean, the county has changed even here, but that could drive people to the polls if they're motivated and help Kim Fox. Look, it'll be interesting to watch. I still take a peek at Chicago politics because it's fascinating. I mean, I go back to the Mayor Daley days. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I was probably 7, 8 years old, mid-70s. Well, I was 7 or 8 years old, mid-70s. But I remember hearing so much about Chicago politics because Richard Daley was such a powerful force.
Yeah, he basically merged. For decades, the city of Chicago, organized crime and politicians were at odds with each other. And Mayor Daley said, hey, why don't we all work together and profit off of this thing, and created the political machine. And I love coming on your show, Mark, because I like making St. Louisans feel better about living here and not up there. I really get a lot of social media people on my Twitter at Rafer Weigel and Rafer Weigel on Facebook. A lot of people are like, you got to move out of there. Well, folks, that is the plan, to move to St. Louis.
But I shouldn't even say this. Are you a Cubs fan, though?
Well, you know what? I was
until
take like
the fifth.
No, no, no. I'll answer it. I grew up on the North Side, and I went to Cubs games as a kid. I took the L.
So did I.
And then I.
You know what's funny about that? Let me stop you there. Yeah. How old were you when you were taking the L to go to Cubs games? Because I was probably 10 or 11 years old by myself with friends. Right.
We would take a $10 bill from our mom. It was a $1 L ride there, $1 L ride back, $5 for the bleacher ticket, $2 for the hot dog, $1 for the soda. There was your $10.
And they never open. Well, I think I'm a little older than you, but when I was going to games there, they didn't even open up the upper deck. They didn't on the weekdays. They didn't need to.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't recall. That was a time.
Then I covered the Cubs. And I'm here to say there is not a more difficult organization to work with from a media standpoint. And when I covered the Cardinals, they were fantastic. They were so open, generous, and gracious to the media. So once you know how the sausage is made, it's going to taste a little bit differently. I was happy the Cubs won the World Series simply because
A
lot of so many Cub fans I know personally that I know and love. It meant so much to them on a personal level. But at the end of the day, you know what? As Jerry Seinfeld said, when it comes to sports, we're rooting for clothes.
Absolutely. Ray Verwago, good to see you and meet you in person finally.
You as well, sir.
We're back with Chris Raby from Jupiter, Florida, and a Raby rant and a little update on the Redbirds as well this afternoon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Been waiting for it, and it's back.
Welcome to the show!
Preseason exhibition play hits the diamond this Saturday as the Cards take on the New York Mets. Pregame 11:55. Hear it here on your home for Cardinals baseball. KMOX.
Hey, speaking of Cardinals baseball, Chris Raby down in Jupiter, Florida. You seem like you'd be the kind of guy that would be a fan of the Masked Singer. Am I getting that right?
You know, I haven't watched it. Music, kind of a sore subject for me right now, Mark.
And why?
This is actually one of the things that's kind of cheesing me. You know, the new Bieber album's not very good.
Well, I did not. Well, gosh, that's a shocker, Chris. And I was unaware of that.
Well, I'm in the car right now. And clearly, you know, kind of to cleanse the palate, I had to put Purpose on.
Wait. Which is Purpose? Is that the new one?
Oh, dude, listen.
I don't know these things. What is that? Is that an older song?
Come on, dude.
I really don't know. I really don't know. I'm just telling you right now.
Hold on. Let's go to the next track. Here we go.
All right. I can't identify it. Wait, I do know that song. What is that? Which one is that?
You know, Sorry.
I know that one.
That's a good song.
Well, that's an older song, though, right?
Well, last album,
2015. Yeah. Right. Yeah, man. I've got posters in my room and everything.
New album's not good. I've only given it a couple listen-throughs, but yeah, so
Is this one of the new ones? Is Yummy on there? Is that one of the new ones?
Yeah.
You don't like it? Yep. Did you hear his whole thing with Corden the other night?
No.
So I want your reaction
on
this.
They're boys, man.
Yeah, but listen to this, because I think I'm going to have to take James Corden's side on this. Tom Cruise and Biebs in a fight. Who would you take?
To win the fight?
Yeah.
Probably Cruise, just because of all the Mission Impossible. Like, he had to have been doing some of his own stunts, right?
I think if you and Tom Cruise have a fight, I back Tom every day of the week. Day of the week.
See, I'll try not to let my ego get in the way, but there's absolutely no way He's not the guy you see in movies.
He is.
He's not.
He's in phenomenal shape.
He's in phenomenal shape. Doesn't mean you're a good fighter.
Word.
I don't know. I start to get frustrated because, like, you're really boiling me up, man. I'm gonna fight you.
The Biebs is not happy with Corden there, but I think Corden's got it.
How about that?
I'm gonna take Cruz.
Yeah, but you know, Cruz is a Scientologist, so maybe that impacts the fight.
How tall is Justin Bieber?
Oh man, he can't be that tall. But neither is Tom Cruise.
No, Tom Cruise is like 4'8", I think, or something like that. They never want to talk about it. Bieber's 5'9".
Justin, okay, maybe I'd take Bieber. He's got the hockey background.
Well, maybe there's something to it. But why does he sound like he's getting younger? He sounded like 13.
He's smelling out, man. It's a good time in his life.
All right, what else is cheesing you here today, Chris Raby, on Raby Rants?
Well, actually, this is very timely because I'm out grabbing some lunch and I had to run a couple errands before I head back to the studio, which is why I'm on the phone right now. And can I talk to a minute for all the idiots that I don't think we've done this one. And I'm on the record as just people are stupid, right? And for all of you morons out there who insist on inconveniencing everyone else by backing into your parking spots in busy parking lots, what are you trying to prove? All right. I don't get it. Everyone that backs into a parking spot feels like they deserve a medal of honor for backing into the spot. And you'll get the same dumb answer. And listen, there are a bunch of you morons in our office who do this. You'll get the same answer. Well, it's so much easier to get out. Well, yeah, but it also takes you, you know, 6 college tries and 15 minutes to get into the spot in the first place. So,
yeah, for whatever reason, it's become very fashionable here at Entercom St. Louis, and our building is right across from the SLU Law School, so we have people who park in here from. So we have assigned spaces to a certain extent. I mean, we have Entercom spaces, and then the big shots get their names on spaces and things like that. But a lot of people do decide, for whatever reason, to back into those spaces.
And they're terrible at it. They're really bad.
Well, because what happens is if you're going to pull in forward, then their front door or their driver's door is on the same side as your driver's door, and that could be a real tight squeeze.
Yeah, it's like just be an adult and park your car. Like I am, and again, they never stop bragging about how good they are at backing into spots. Like you get this all the time. The people that brag about being good parallel parkers are the worst parallel parkers. I'm a phenomenal parallel parker. It's not a brag. That's just a fact because A, I have a brain, and B, I grew up in a city where you need to park a car in the street sometimes. But I don't ask for a medal every time I do it. I just get it done, one take, and then go about my business. I don't ask for a medal every time I tie my shoe in the morning. I just do it because I'm an adult. And, you know, it inconveniences everyone else. I'm all about just streamlining life.
How hard is it to back into a spot when everyone has the, the rear cameras now?
Yeah, like, I've got that in the rental car right now, but I think I've got a bad rear camera. I don't trust it. You know, I trust my eyes, and I trust my ability to pull into a parking spot. You know, here's another one, too.
Ah, here we go.
That really is grinding me down here in Florida. Do you know how much time do you think we would save over the course of a week, a year, a lifetime, if when a light turned green, everyone drove and wasn't looking at their phones?
I've talked
about people looking at their phones on the highway and they'll cut you off. But like, again, I preached this a couple weeks ago. You're not that important. No one's emailing you or calling you during the 27 seconds that you're at a red light at the corner of Hanley and Brentwood.
Here's where it becomes even more important, I think. Yeah, here's where I experienced the difficulty. And I tried not to do this myself because, and this is beyond just being on the phone, but if you're in a turning lane, for example, and you're waiting for that arrow, sometimes those turning lane arrows are very, very fast. And if you don't get off the gates real quick as the first person, then the third person in line might even miss the green light. So if people are just slow on the pedal at these lights, it affects everyone else.
Seriously, how many instances are there when a turning lane is a perfect example and you could probably say the alphabet before the car in front of you starts to move or before your car starts to move?
Well, what's the protocol? Like, the protocol is the light tap.
If everyone was attentive and drove, then everyone would move. At least your car would start moving before a 26 count.
So you'd have the light tap if someone's not moving, and then if it's a couple, you know, more than a few seconds, then I think you just hammer the horn, don't you?
You strike me as a guy who flexes that horn.
I do occasionally flex the horn. But again, there's different degrees of beeping the horn. There's a little friendly.
Sure.
You know, hey.
Hang
hey.
On, here. Let me put the window down.
Yeah, see how you're doing here.
So you got this.
That's friendly. Hey,
you hear that?
Hey, maybe you just weren't paying attention. I'm patient. I'm right behind you. But hey, let's go. That's the friendly one.
I've got like a family right in front of my car, and I probably shouldn't lean on the hall. Anything, and then when you're really mad, this is the one when you kind of all right. Hold your. So what would be your steering wheel hand, right? So like if you were going home, you probably use your left hand. So everyone's going to do this now. Don't do it if you're driving. I want you, Mark, to make a palm, like spread your fingers, straighten your arm in front of you. Imagine you're sitting in your car,
okay,
and you just put that palm center of the wheel,
right,
and then fully extended, just bang, and you give it some elbow. You give it some elbow, and that's the means business horn. There you go.
There you go. That's what I would do.
But like I feel that. Like. Three count, you give the boop, boop, and then after that, open range. People are looking at me in this parking lot because I just leaned on the horn. open range to just go at it. Yeah, I honked. Yeah, is that good enough to be a standalone symbol?
Well, look, it's kind of like the airplane seat that reclines, Raby. I mean, if the car wasn't meant to beep a horn, then it wouldn't have a horn, right?
I did a little straw poll today, and no one is on your side in the Cardinal clubhouse in terms of reclining.
What? Wait, yeah, but they all fly first class fancy stuff anyway, right? Nobody?
No, we don't. A charter flight it's still a normal plane that we're on.
I had it in my mind that it was more fancy. You're telling me that not one of the Cardinals players that you spoke with reclines. I find that hard to believe.
On a commercial flight, surrounded by people you don't know, I didn't find anyone who is pro. And these are all professional athletes. You're like a scrawny little, you know, 120-pound cyclist. These are professional athletes who are tall.
Well, that's probably why, though, because they know that they wouldn't want that done to them. Look, I'm going to be on a Southwest flight tomorrow morning to Las Vegas. I'm B7, and if you're behind me, you're going to be reclined upon tomorrow morning. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Here's another rule, though. Like, for Southwest, what's the most prized commodity? It's the exit row seats,
yes,
right?
Yes.
If you want to sit
more in the front row, because there's a lot more legroom there also.
Yeah. If you want to sit in an exit row, though, you should have to drop and snap off 10 push-ups in the aisle of the plane. If you can't do that, then I don't want my life in your hands.
I'm with you on that one. I think we can agree. Chris Raby.
You should have to drop and give me 10.
I love that. That's actually a cool rule.
Yeah. Well, I've got a big brain, and I'm good at parking, and I don't inconvenience everyone by needlessly backing my car, straddling two lines in an empty parking.
You're the best, Chris. What else you got for us at 4:15 this afternoon? Yeah, what do you got?
I don't know. I got to figure out some sports. I'm still, I'm on tilt by this Beavis thing.
Have a good day.
Yes.
All right, we'll see you in a little bit. Here we go. I was trying to find more sound effects, and that one had voice in it, which kind of scared me because I didn't know what they were going to say.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Oh, there's just too much audio today. How to narrow it down. Well, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to do a couple here, and it is sponsored by the Good Feet Store, Pain Relief and Comfort to Fit Any Budget. We'll go kind of with the opening volley from Liz Warren.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
Well, you got to give her credit for that one. Bloomberg and Warren going at it on these non-disclosures and his past with women.
He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements. So, Mr. Mayor, are you willing to release all of those women from those non-disclosure agreements so we can hear their side of the story?
We have a very few non-disclosure agreements.
How many is
that? Let me
that?
Finish.
How many is that?
None of them accused me of doing anything other than maybe they didn't like the joke I told. And let me just put,
It's easy. All the mayor has to do is say, you are released from the non-disclosure agreement.
Well, everybody knew he wasn't going to do that, and he certainly didn't handle the moment very well. I don't think it would have been too tough to say, look, these are things that happened in the past, and, you know, it was private, but there are more important things. But Bloomberg, even if he was coached that way, didn't want to go down that route. And then he said this morning.
So how was your night last night? Look, the real winner in the debate last night was Donald Trump. Because I worry that we may very well be on the way to nominating somebody who cannot win in November. And if we choose a candidate who appeals to a small base like Senator Sanders, it will be a fatal error. We need Democrats and independents and Republicans to win.
I didn't see anyone on that stage last night that can beat Donald Trump. Not from certainly that gathering. And I don't think Mike Bloomberg can do it either. And he's going to have a tough time even getting this nomination despite all that money. But it was great must-see TV. Total Information PM is coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.